So welcome to the e-com growth show, where we cut through the chaos of e-com growth and show you how to build a business that scales and supports the life that you actually want. I'm your host, Brittany, former boutique owner turned growth strategist for e-com owners like yourself. And today I'm joined by co-founders of Shopanova and Bloom, Robbie Switzer and Danny Stafford. We created this podcast to pull back the curtain on what's really working to grow Shopify brands to consistent 100K plus months without burnout or guesswork. Whether you're getting traction or scaling fast, this show is designed to help you simplify, focus, and grow with purpose.
All right, guys, I'm excited because today we are breaking down the truth about paid advertising, what works, what doesn't. But most importantly, how to make it work for you. So many founders hit a plateau because they either don't trust ads or they've been burned by agencies that didn't give them a real strategy or even have one in the first place. But the reality is, when done right, paid ads can be the rocket fuel that you strap onto your little Shopify store and take it to the moon, as I like to say. So with that said, Bobby, I got a question for you, Robbie, we call him. What do you think is the biggest mindset shift store owners need to make when they start investing into paid ads?
Well, that's such a good question. I think for a lot of people, just the idea that ads have to be a line item in their P&L is a shift in and of itself. Because they've kind of, a lot of people that come to us, they've kind of already launched their Shopify store. They have an awesome product. They're getting traction organically. And a lot of times that's like, you know, you're selling at local markets, you're selling to friends and family, you're reaching your local community, and maybe kind of getting on the outskirts of those circles, and you're trying to figure out, how do I take it further? And it's like, you've actually paid a lot of sweat equity to get the amount of sales that you have right now. But that does have a natural cap on it. It has a limit. It has a plateau. Now, instead of paying more sweat equity and putting in more time to grow organically further, once you've kind of maxed that out, you need to just start paying ad spend. And so I think the shift for people is, okay, I want to get into a bigger set of shoes for this business. I want to like increase my capacity for what I'm able to do revenue-wise. The way you get that is just by paying in ads. And so a lot of people, I think they see like, oh man, I used to be so profitable when I wasn't running ads. And now you're telling me I need to spend 20% of my revenue on ads or 25% of my revenue on ads. That can be scary for people, but yeah. It is the way you unlock much bigger revenue levels, which when you scale it up, it ends up being way more profitable than just staying at 10-20K a month for the rest of your life.
And to that same person, Rob, that doesn't like to hear that, right? They're like, oh, I was used to getting organic traffic for free, but it's not free because it's your freaking time. So quit saying that. I'm just going to tell you right now. But what are some of those misconceptions as well that you see around ad spend and profitability too?
Yeah, the biggest one that comes to mind is everybody thinks they need to make their money on day one. So it's like, I'm going to put $100 in, I better get $500 back or $200 back, or at least $100 back. Otherwise I'm losing money. And so it's this very kind of short-sighted game where it's like money goes into ads. I immediately need to see that money come back out. The truth is you're going to spend a little bit of money kind of building up awareness, building up presence, building up a pipeline full of potential customers. Over time, those people are going to start converting, depending on how long it takes from the time somebody sees your ad and your brand for the first time to when they make their first purchase. There's kind of a whole consideration that needs to take place where they're wondering, who is this person? They need to get hit with ads a few times. They need to see some touch points, probably check out your Instagram profile, which is why you really want to make sure all of your touch points feel cohesive, because they don't just see an ad, click and then purchase. They get into your ecosystem. And once they know, like, and trust you enough from being in that ecosystem for a long enough time, which hopefully is less than a week, then they're going to go ahead and make their first purchase. But even when they do, that's still not the whole financial picture of your ROI, because what you've actually acquired is not just a first-time purchase. What you've acquired is hopefully a customer for life. And purchase two, purchase three, purchase four, you're hopefully going to acquire those by sending them a text message, by sending them an email. So every time they do have a repeat purchase, your ROI on that first ad spend bill that you use to acquire the customer just goes through the roof. So you need to look at it in a bigger picture in order to really understand the ROI on those ads. So I'd say that's the biggest misconception, is that you put money in, money immediately comes out. It's more like you're building a garden. You need to let it grow. You need to really cultivate repeat purchases. And then over time, it just builds an awesome pipeline of customers for your business that purchase so over and over and over again.
It is hard though, dude, when they're like, I need a 10x return. I need a 5x return. It's like, are you sure you need that, or you just want that?
Right.
But when you calculate it all out, it's like, let's actually figure out what you need to break even and then improve upon that over time. But I guarantee you, once this is all built out and a good system in place and you just feed it slowly over time, it is going to acquire you new customers and grow your business. You just got to be patient a lot of times. Brittany, we're just over here ranting, couple dudes talking about a bunch of boring numbers, but I'd love to hear your perspective on this, because you're so good at the organic side, right? And once you came in and saw our paid system, I think some parts of it were kind of surprising, like how quickly growth could happen when it's all put together. But I just love to hear your perspective when people are asking you, like, you know, are paid ads even gonna work for me?
Yeah, for sure. So coming from like a really strong organic marketing background, that's how I scaled a lot of my boutique clients before teaming up with you guys. My goodness. I think one of the bigger things is consistency. So with organic marketing, I feel like it's an incredible resource. One, just like, you know, it's higher probability, all those things that you guys said, but it is also more time and more time consuming, and people typically don't value their time as much. So with how many hours you're spending going live or on Instagram, finding new content or posting or making sure you're on stories or stressing or whatever you're doing on social, what is that hourly worth for your time? And if you contributed that to your daily budget with ads, I mean, it wouldn't even compare, because I was spending, you know, Hey, as a CEO, I forget what book it is, but it's like, if it's anything less than $250 an hour, it's not worth your time at a certain level of business. Anyway, but it's the consistency, because when you're just focusing on organic and there's no real other channels that you're focusing on, it's basically like being on a 24/7 hamster wheel that is completely unpredictable and based on some random algorithm that changes on a weekly basis. And being in that space, like when I was a boutique owner, that just was such a vulnerable spot. And I didn't tell anybody that, but like in my soul, I was like, I'm in a vulnerable spot, because if TikTok shakes things up one day, which is inevitable, I'm screwed. And I knew that. And I knew, like, with my customer base, you know, I had my top 20 customers and I had, you know, Suzanne purchased every single week. But I'm like, okay, what happens when Suzanne, who purchases every single week, gets bored, which inevitably is going to happen. So I also knew like this fear lingering of like, I need to get new customers because eventually this is going to fizzle. And I think those are the two big things, like consistency and consistent new customers that ads provides that organic can't necessarily provide for you all the time. So you're paying for it's consistency to me, honestly. Another sales channel that's a lot more consistent. And if you have the right strategy, obviously, I think that's where a lot of people get burned. There is no strategy, or it's not the right strategy. And they're like, this doesn't work. And I'm like, no, babe, like this can work. It's your strategy that sucks. But yeah.
I'm thinking, Brittany, as you're talking, is if you guys have a Suzanne in your business, you're thinking, oh, yeah, I have a Suzanne. She purchases every week. And you're relying on her. That's when you know it's time. It might be time to implement paid and get some new customers coming in.
Yeah, yeah. Suzanne's husband saw her credit card bill. She's like, hey, I have to take, we had a breakup. She's like, I have to take a step back from your boutique for a little bit. And I'm so sorry. I love you. You know, you had a breakup, Suzanne and I, but that's part of life and it's part of business, you know? So one thing, but when you have like the content dialed in and stuff, like ads to me is just fuel on whatever is going right or wrong on, with your business. So our brands that have just exploded, like they had a really great foundation. They had beautiful fulfillment. And like you just add ad spend to that. And it's been a beautiful thing to see that just explode beyond just one-off viral videos or chasing the, you know, ever-changing algorithm, you know, like there's no way that some of our brand's growth, I'm thinking of like Tag Aloha, could have received the type of consistent growth over time they received if it wasn't for ads, because you cannot with organic.
I'd love, like you mentioned Tag Aloha, but I'd love to hear one of your favorite stories of just a brand or someone that struggled with ads at first and their mindset around it, but then found their stride. But I'd love, like, what was the change or shift for them?
Man, I mean, honestly, Tag Aloha would be like a really great example. I just love them. But when we first started together, they had an agency and we were working together and we were teaching them our strategy. And then they were going back to the agency. It was a lot of back and forth. And I was like, yo, dude, like, why don't you just try it out yourself? And it was a lot of like confidence. Like, I don't know if I can. I'm not a pro marketer. I'm good at this, but I'm not good at that. Like, you know, all the common things. Like, I think there's this like misnomer that like we can't understand marketing. It's this like big scary thing in the closet. But that's just what marketers make it out to be, so that they feel superior. They're like the secret keepers. And I'm like, no, this is information. It can be a lot more simple. Like you can learn it too. Like you don't have to be a professional. So we worked on his confidence and he fired his agency and he took on ads himself. And I think like something crazy the next month when he took it on himself, like their sales literally doubled because he knew what he was doing. No one cares about your business the way you do. That's not an excuse for later down the road, not delegating, by the way. But yes, that was like a huge part of his story. And I've also had brands that just were really hesitant to spend. So there's a boutique owner in particular, and she just was so hesitant.
Really quick, before you go into the spending part, I would say there is something very interesting that happens when a brand owner starts running their own ads, because even if they set up just like a baseline strategy that's somewhat sound, it often outperforms like an agency strategy, because there's always a disconnect in the ad creative if you're like, if the brand owner isn't deeply, deeply involved in generating that ad creative. So just being able to like step into the shoes of like, okay, I'm running the marketing, I'm running the ads. I feel like the authenticity of the brand, the value proposition of the brand, it just connects so much more when the brand owner is involved, that even if you're not doing all these crazy testing techniques inside of the ad account like an agency might be doing, it still oftentimes does a little bit better, because it's like, people buy from people. And so if that's not making its way into the ad creative, like that's, it doesn't matter how good the strategy is, people aren't going to buy. So I think there's something really special when people do kind of get in at the foundation of their ads. It doesn't mean they can't delegate it out in the future, but when they kind of connect the media buying with the branding and the ad creative, like just seamlessly, that's when it feels like really awesome things start to happen.
Yeah. I describe that as like ultimate alignment, because when all those things are in alignment, but you have to kind of originally be in it to see what's out of alignment. And it'll be pretty obvious, because you're like, okay, like my ads are working, but my conversion rate isn't good. It's like, okay, let's work on your website. And it's like, okay, my website's dialed in, but like I don't have a really high repeat customer rate. Why is that? Okay, let's look at email marketing. So it's just really easy to diagnose those things yourself if you're in it. Yeah. But when you delegate it, people just don't care as much as you do. Or like in those early years, until you have like the vision and the direction and the strategy you can guide someone towards. So I'm really chatty today. But like with our clients, where I love everyone to be, is in the driver's seat, where they feel like I can push the gas pedal and I can release it at any point, and I know what works to make those things happen. And I say release the gas pedal because sometimes brands are scaling too quick with us and they're like, oh snap, like we just 40 times our revenue in 2 months. Like I just had a client, it's a food-based business. She came in at, it was less than $8,000. It was $5,000 months. She did a partial month at $8,000. Then it was $26,000. She's going to surpass more than $50,000 this month, which is insane.
Dude.
Cost of her $13 for a box of pasta. Like, it's bananas what she's doing. I'm so proud of her. But yeah, like, it's just, anyway, making sure those things are in alignment, figuring that out yourself. And at any point, I have trust because we know what works for her business now. She can release the gas pedal and she's like, you know what? I want to take a little break. I want to keep it easy. Or you know what? It's game time. Let's go. And she has the power and the, yeah, she's empowered to do that. And that's what's like the most important thing to me. From like,
go from 5K a month though to 50K months is literally crazy. And you can't, unless you strike a gold mine and like go viral somehow, which is pure luck. You're not going to do that, right? Unless you implement a paid ad system.
Yeah. Well, the other thing on top of that too, so some things for our listeners, y'all. So if you're at 5,000, you're like, oh my gosh, 50,000 would be insane. They're an established business. She has a team in place and her fulfillment is completely dialed in. So she, at this point in her business, she can't run out of product. She could scale to $1 million next month and her fulfillment team could take care of it, which is a huge part of why she's able to handle it. But she, you know, she's handling her ads herself. Like, she's just cool. So
that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Robbie, what are you usually looking for in a brand to determine, are they even ready for paid ads? Will paid ads work for these people? Like, what are some things they should probably have first?
Yeah. So one of them is going to be just getting dialed into like, what is a good entry point into the business? What is my flagship offer? What is my best seller? What can I sell fairly predictably over and over? That might be a certain bundle of your favorite products. It might be, it could be anything. It could just be like your top bestseller.
Could be a cat. Some people sell cats, dude.
Could be a cat.
But
I think
they don't sell cats. I'm kidding.
It's really good to do something that you can do over and over and over again and still make money, which comes down to like, you also need a decent profit margin. You really want to be at like 60% or more, even 70% or more if possible. That way you have some money to put into ad spend. That way you can cover shipping up past a certain threshold, which would kind of lead me to my next point, which is you want to have a decent average order value, just because there's a certain cost associated with putting an ad on the internet and acquiring a customer. That might be $30 to acquire a customer. And that $30, that cost is going to be there whether you're selling a $10 product or a $70 product. And so you want to make sure that your AOV is high enough to support your acquisition cost as well. So those are a couple things. Just proof of concept. Like, don't be...
Dude, he sounds like an angel investor when he's talking.
Well, Dan...
Dumb it down for me, brother. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Proof of concept. So you just need to know that people love your products already.
Dude, that's a huge one. That's a big one, because when people just try ads on a brand new product that has zero market fit, that's typically when they come to the conclusion that ads don't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when we see people that have built up organically, right? They know people love their product, they have good customer service, and they launch ads, then it's like typically they see a lot quicker momentum and better results.
Yeah, you don't want to spend ads trying to figure out if people love your product.
I like that.
You want to spend money on ads to amplify something that's already working. That's when you're ready for ads. It's like, hey, it's working. Now I want to take it to the moon. That's when you're ready.
I love that.
Brittany, anything to add?
Totally. Guys, I'm like a big mindset person, but for real, I've seen people with like perfect metrics come into our ecosystem. And it's like the AOV looks good and all these things. And then their mindset is like so terrible around ads. And the people that are just really gung-ho and like doing it, they're like, they just have this inner knowing of like, I got this, I'm going to figure it out and I can do it. And that's kind of like the mentality, like just jumping in. There's not a lot of like overthinking, or I'm sure they're nervous and anxious and scared. Like we all are when we start new things, but they're just like, heck yeah, I'm confident this is going to work. And that just kind of like carries into like whole experience too. Like I'm thinking of our one client, Carrie. She came in, she's like, I'm going to be an agency client in a couple months. I just want to learn ads and I'm going to scale really big and really quick. It's exactly what she's done, but she's invested. She's open to feedback. She's taking consistent action week over week. But people who are like, I don't know if this is going to work for me. And like, they're not self-reflective, like they're their own problem and they don't realize it. They just don't see results. And then they're like, well, it's everyone else and it's everything else and the world's against me. And they don't see like it's them, which kind of hearing sometimes. And I was, I mean, I've been there too. I've been the problem, you know, if, as entrepreneurs, you know, especially when we're small, sometimes when you're not growing, it's actually you and there has to be some reflection there. But yeah, just the people who I saw like grow crazy big, like just crazy numbers, they just were like all in. They're like, let's scale. Let's, you know, they were like up to $500 a day and like, this is working. I trust the process and let's do it. And they've seen incredible things happen. And then once again, the flip side of this is, this sucks. I did better with organic marketing. I don't know about it. These aren't working. Nobody likes my ads. Like it just doesn't go to a healthy place. And
yeah, well, that's actually a good, leads me to my next question is, what's your guys' response to someone that says, I've tried ads and they didn't work?
Well, dude, that's what's crazy is like, we speak and work with lots of different owners, all with different mindsets, different metrics inside of their ad account. And just to put a bow on kind of what I was saying before, like there are a dozen metrics that you want to watch, but all of those you actually have influence over. So like if you have a good product, you can ship it. Like it's not a couch or something that's going to be super difficult to ship. Like you can figure out ways to increase profitability, boost your AOV. Like those are all just, there's techniques for that and there's systems you can follow to do that. So don't try to get it to all pencil out. If it's shippable, people like it, chances are you'll be able to get ads to work for you. But what I was going to say is like, we talked to lots of different people and there's kind of like the skeptic who's like, dude, how are people spending money on ads at a 2x return? Like that just doesn't work for my business. There's no way I can keep the lights on for that. Meanwhile, there are people like me and Dan, like we're literally looking for businesses to buy. And like there's brands that are for sale where all they did was break even on ad spend. They launched a product and they built it up to like 1,000 customers. They have all these customers. And now somebody who does know how to step in and adjust profitability, adjust AOV, they can take something that has substance and turn it profitable. And so when one person was thinking like, there's no way I can make any money with this, another person is selling that business that has barely turned a profit for like $100,000. And it's like, dude, there's so much money in here. There's cash flow. There's enterprise value. Like there's your customer base. There's so much you can do with it. So yeah. What was the original question?
I don't even know, dude. I don't even know where we're going, brother. That was crazy. That was good though.
Yeah, I forgot what you said, dude. I don't know what.
No, that was, I like it. That was a good rabbit trail. I was just curious, like, what you guys say when someone says, I tried ads and they didn't work for my brand.
Okay. I'm really passionate about sauces. Hear me out. So like, I've had friends be like, I don't like curry, or like, I don't like Indian food, right? But they've tried only one type of curry, or like pasta sauces. It's like the equivalent of someone trying a tomato sauce and being like, oh, I hate sauces, all sauces, no matter what. But they haven't experienced the divine intervention of an Alfredo. You know what I mean? For context, I am part Italian and I'm a little hungry, apparently. Yeah, but I think it does go back to like that mindset piece of like, okay, I post one post and it didn't work for me. Instagram doesn't work for me. TikTok doesn't work for me. Ads don't work for me, whatever. But you haven't put in the reps. So like I was talking to a client this past week. She's like, oh my gosh, Brittany, I've done a ton of founders ads, a ton. And I'm like, okay, how many founders ads have you recorded? 4. Okay, when you record over 50 founders ads, talk to me.
Wait, a lot, man.
A lot of ads, right? So a lot of people don't, they try something, they think they're going to fail at it, and they have confirmation bias, like, oh, this didn't work, right? But you didn't necessarily put in the reps, or you didn't necessarily like have strategy in place to really find success with that, because you can find success with it, right? Yeah, so
bring up a good point, though, because a lot of times when people, even on the paid ad side, did I cut your thought off?
Well, I was just going to do my rant about TikTok.
Okay, do your rant.
Like, I posted over 100 videos before I ever went remotely viral on TikTok. I posted 100 videos. I posted every single day. It was like for 4 months straight before anything happened, really, of substance. So when people came to me and they're like, oh, well, TikTok doesn't work for my boutique. I'm like, okay, well, what are you doing? I post when I feel like it. I text my mom every time I post to like my stuff. Like, I'm like, that's not it. You need to be like diligent with it and put in the reps. And I just don't think people want to do that. And they also don't want to hear that either.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with ads. Typically, it's like, okay, what have you tried? Well, I boosted a post for $100 and I just got a bunch of likes on my posts. Okay, that's not going to get you sales. Again, wake me up when you've spent $35,000 and haven't got a sale.
That's real.
Not that much, though. I mean, that's exaggeration, but you have to spend at least $100 a day for a month to see what's even working, what's not, and then refine from there. And it could be 90 days of doing that before you find a winner. But the thing is, once you find the winner and what's working and you build that momentum, that's when it all starts liquidating and paying off, right? But most people don't make it past the first couple boosted posts, much less the first 30 days of spending $100 every day with the right framework in place.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of our accounts, they have, you know, before they start working with us, they have a very scattered strategy. So like, they have multiple campaigns. They're all at less than $100. They have minimal spend. And then they're like, hey, I can't spend that much. But they're spending $50 a day, $30 a day in 3 different campaigns. So everything's split and it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Anyway, and then they're like, but this isn't working for me. Or they have 2 ad creatives. Like, what? Part of our strategy is like, have a lot of different ad creatives. So Meta has a lot to choose from and getting your reps in. And then they're like, oh, this isn't working. I'm like, no wonder it's not working. You're putting all of your bets on 2 things.
Mm-hmm. Ads work. Not every product is going to be like, you're not going to get mass adoption of every single idea that gets out there. Some products flop. So ideally you're running ads for something that you know people already love. The people who typically say it doesn't work for them, like, they don't really have a validated product. But if that is you and it's like, man, I'm not getting traction from my ads, I'm getting a little bit here and there, your product, your branding and positioning is not like a sacred cow that can't be tweaked. So we've had a lot of clients where they're like, they're doing okay, but they're not really getting the scale that they want. And it's like, okay, well, my clients seem to really respond well to this product drop we did with the bag. Initially, we were like just apparel. And then they launched some bags. People really liked those. And now they're a bag company. And that one scaled to $1 million a month. Whereas before, they're stuck at like 40, 50K a month, just doing kind of like the same thing everybody else was doing in their space, but they found a way to be unique. So be willing to test, you know, angles on the positioning, different products, different collections of products. Those are all levers you can pull as well, as far as getting that massive scale from your ads.
Yeah, so good, dude. This is might be kind of repeating some of the same things, but let's distill it down to one thing. What's one tip you'd give to someone that's trying to get their first profitable ad campaign off the ground? Let's hear just one from each of you.
Dude, I'm just going to go straight for good ad creative.
Okay.
And don't be like, there's no need to get cute, clever, or creative. Like, find ad creative that works, like the stuff that you click and buy, and just do your own version of that. And that's going to be really helpful to you. An ad looks like an ad for a reason. It's because there's people who have spent hundreds of millions of dollars figuring out what actually gets people in a mindset to buy. And so you can do your own version of that, and you don't need to feel like a fraud. Like, make it your own, but don't try to do something like so out of the box that people don't even know what the heck you're doing.
That's fair. Okay, creative was the first thing that came to my mind, honestly, but Rob already took it. To keep things simple, to simplify, because a lot of what we teach and preach is simplification, and making sure whatever strategy you have, that it's sustainable and scalable. Because a lot of people, they like dive into something and it's like, I'm going to create, you know, five different campaigns, and I'm going to do all this different campaign testing and do retargeting, and just keep it simple. Like, start with an Advantage Plus campaign, put your ad creative in there, like, keep it simple would probably be my advice for scaling.
So good. Dude, and I'd love, Rob, if this is okay with you, I didn't ask permission, but I'm going to do it anyways. I would love it if we could give away our Growth Made Simple ad course for our podcast listeners. And all they have to do is message Robbie at shopanova.com and just say Growth Made Simple. And we will give you our course for free that walks you through exactly how we set up the ad account campaigns. And isn't there even a bundle in there with a bunch of creative templates that they can just plug their products into?
You know, Dan, you broke up for me a little bit, but it sounded like you were giving away.
He doesn't even know what's coming.
our ad creative course definitely has those top converting ad formats, and they're super easy to use. It's like, if you can drag and drop your images and adjust some text, like, you'll have ad creative ready to go with those templates.
Yeah, you guys can thank me. I'm a nice guy, but it'll get you pointed in the right direction and at least give you the peace of mind that you're setting that up the correct way, the way we would. Brittany, Robbie, always a pleasure. I had a great time with you guys today. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and we'll see y'all next week.
The pleasure is all ours, Dan.
Peace out, Girl Scout. You go. I'm such a nice guy. Robbie, do all this work.
Actually, you cut out. What did you give away for free?
Thanks for tuning in to the Ecom Growth Show, where clarity replaces chaos and strategy fuels freedom. If today's episode sparked any idea or gave you a clear next step, we'd love for you to subscribe, share it with a fellow brand owner, and leave a review so more entrepreneurs can grow with intention, not overwhelm. For more resources and real talk on scaling your Shopify brand the smart way, follow us on Instagram @Shopanova. Until next time, keep growing with purpose.